Hi everyone, my name is Nishal Banskota and I'm the founder of Nepal Tea. I'm originally from Nepal and I bring organic teas directly from our farm and distribute it here in the US. I came here in 2011 and have been here ever since. Today I'm here with Deepika and Anuj for the podcast At the End of the Day, and I'll be talking a little more about my entrepreneurial journey here.
Nishal, thank you so much for being in our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So you came here to study the undergrad program, but Anuj told me that you actually came with the intention of doing a CPA. Mm-hmm. What led you to an entrepreneurship adventure?
So when I came here, I definitely knew I wanted to become a CPA. Mm-hmm. My brother was a CPA. He had been here in 2000, and I knew his success. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of the path for me. Mm-hmm. And I was really good with numbers, and finance was kind of the thing that I wanted, that I did in college back in Nepal. Right. So I knew what classes to take, I knew what internships to do and all of that kind of stuff. So I did all of that. I was very good at that, but the first year in college, it was amazing. It was the first time I was not living in a house with the parents. So it was more of a freedom that I was enjoying a lot. Right. Second year was complete not really depression, but I was sad.
Okay.
I was sad because I was not finding the place. Mm-hmm. I was not finding my right place in college. There was this English professor, Ann Page, and I got into this honors program. Mm-hmm. And in the first meeting, she said, if you have some funding, mm-hmm. what would you do to change the world?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And all of us, there were like about 10 students, and we were all talking about, you know, a lot of ideas were being thrown around saying we need to go to Paris and go to these museums. That's going to be a very immersive experience and all of that. So many different ideas were going through. And then there was my friend. His name is Amigo, mm-hmm. and his real name is Amigo, and he's from Nepal. So he and I, what we were thinking was we really wanted to go back to Nepal, mm-hmm. for a while. Mm-hmm. And we thought, how cool would it be, mm-hmm. to just actually get some funding, mm-hmm. go to Nepal, and do some work? Mm-hmm. It would definitely relieve us of our homesick. At the same time, we'll get something done.
Yeah. Right.
So we started on this project. So we had about four. So on the first year, what we did was we had four students, mm-hmm. American students. We took them to rural part of Nepal. I don't know if you know Maya Universe Academy. Mm-hmm. It's Nepal's first free private school.
Okay.
And it's in Udindunga, mm-hmm. which is one of the, it's about 5 hours drive from Pokhara. So finally our project was successful, and they actually funded us to go for the first year, mm-hmm. to go to this school. Yeah. We went there with two other American students. And the scene that I saw there, mm-hmm. was just amazing.
Right.
These kids had accents from all over the world, mm-hmm. because they were volunteers, long-term volunteers. Right. They were the ones who were teaching them, mm-hmm. not just teachers in like public schools back in Nepal. Mm-hmm. And that was not the most important part. The most important part was they had to carry a bucket, mm-hmm. For 15 minutes downhill to get water,
yes. mm-hmm.
and come up to their school, and that is how they were running the whole system for water.
Okay.
Same thing, they were traveling 2 hours to go to come to that school, and they would actually come,
mm-hmm. yeah.
traveling 2 hours one way.
Yeah.
And these are kids we're talking about, grade 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just crazy to see that enthusiasm in these kids, mm-hmm. to actually do all of that stuff. We didn't even have, the school was so small at that point, we didn't even have places to sleep.
Right.
So we would merge the desks, mm-hmm. where the children would actually
okay.
write,
right, yeah.
and put our sleeping bags and then sleep over there.
Okay.
And then the kids would come at early in the morning at 7 and like, hey, it's time to wake up, and they would start cleaning the classrooms.
Right. Oh, okay.
That was the experience I was having, and it was out of the world because I had never been exposed to that, even if it was in my own country.
Yes.
Right.
It was just a crazy, crazy experience.
Uh-huh.
And then it was the CPA in me still was there,
okay.
but that was soon to be changed.
Okay.
What happened was I had this conversation with a 7-year-old,
mm.
and I told him, what do you want to become in the future? And he told me he wanted to become a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, just in a joking way, I was like, why? Mm-hmm. And I was not expecting any answers, right. But what ended up happening, he told me, Manjil is the founder of that school. Okay. And what he said was, Manjil has been such an amazing leader. He is providing education for all of us who otherwise would not have access to education. I want to provide education to even more unfortunate children than myself. Oh. And that killed the CPA in me right there.
Okay.
So I don't even know what would I have said if I was on the kid's place. Uh-huh. At 7-year-old, I don't know what I wanted to do. Uh-huh. And this guy had such a clear vision of what he wants to do in the future. And that was just such an amazing experience where the CPA was completely dead.
Okay.
And I wanted to do something else.
Okay.
I came back from the whole trip, mm-hmm. made a documentary out of it. And we showed the documentary. Everyone was in tears. Mm-hmm. And there itself, they funded it for the next year.
Okay. So
next year we had a chance to go. I took another 7 students and a college professor to go to that place. We knew the water was a problem, so we took water filtration system. Mm-hmm. And this time we built, the first time we built classrooms for them. The second time we built the library for them and water filtration system.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Similar experience, just an amazing seeing that one kid grow from just even a year. It was just an amazing experience and how the school was growing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the same thing, took a documentary, made a documentary, showed it to the college, we got funding for next year. And then by the time it was already 2015, I was back in Nepal already.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get a call from our president of the college.
Okay.
And he said, you know what? You've been taking all of my students to Nepal for 2 years. I have no idea what the hell are you doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna come.
Oh, wow.
So the third trip, I already graduated.
Right.
So the president, it was right after the earthquake, the president of our college came in, mm-hmm. and the project had been passed down to other Nepali students.
Right.
So they created this trip, and I think there were about 8 other students, 8 other American students, the president, president's daughter,
oh, wow.
all of them came. Mm-hmm. They helped build some schools in Gorkha and went to this Maya Universe Academy.
Okay.
And it was just an amazing experience that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the impact of that is what now happens is every single year, mm-hmm. through the president's funding,
mm-hmm.
there's one Nepali student who comes to Kolbe Sawyer College for free.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
So that has been the lasting impact, that one simple idea that we thought of,
mm-hmm.
because I was getting depressed and not going back home, that idea created a lasting impact of where one Nepali student always has a full scholarship to come to Kolbe Sawyer College. That was the whole experience for me about liberal arts college. And though that specific experience of that 7-year-old kid, that is what made me change to what I'm doing right now.
Okay, so it would be a perfect segue to talk about what you are doing right now. And now let's talk about your entrepreneurial journey. And you are a founder of a company, Nepal Tea LLC.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that your father has a tea background as well. So how did you, jump into your father's business? Or should I say father's business? I don't know.
So it's very interesting. So for this, I probably have to go to my father's story first.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I'll talk about my story.
Okay.
My father's story is even more amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd count myself successful if I did 10% of what he did.
Right.
But what happened was, when he was 16 years old,
mm-hmm.
He, at that time, Eastern Nepal, it was a pretty impoverished area.
Mm-hmm.
People had difficult times putting food on their plates.
Mm-hmm.
As a 16-year-old, he had a chance to visit Darjeeling.
Mm-hmm.
And Darjeeling is always known for tea, right?
Yeah.
Right. And he goes there, he sees all of these farmers living a very decent life.
Mm-hmm.
With putting foods on their plates, getting their children into education, and just a decent life. And he reflected back to his village where people were not really having a decent life.
Mm.
So what he did was he came back and as a 16-year-old went to this place where all of the elderlies would meet,
mm-hmm.
and make the decisions for the villages, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he pitched, mm-hmm. at 16-year-old, he pitched saying, hey, you know what, Darjeeling, which is right next to the border, mm-hmm. they're having this tea factory, and then they're living a decent life. Why don't we start a tea factory? I will start a tea factory. Why don't you give me the lands,
mm-hmm.
that you guys are not using?
Right.
and let me start a tea factory. And then everyone basically laughed at him. Mm-hmm. Nobody believed it. Mm-hmm. The reason for that they gave to my father at that time was companies can only be run by British. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tea can only grow in India. Okay. So that's why we're not going to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And then he persisted. What he ended up doing was he got into a lot of more research about tea and all of that. So first thing you need to do is get the soil tested, if it's even fit for production, right? So he dug up about 3 whole sacks of soil, about like 50 pounds of each, carried it for 3 days with his friends and went to Siliguri to test if it was even fit for production. Right. He carried all those 50 pounds, 3 sacks. Mm-hmm. When he got there, mm-hmm. he found out that only a handful was necessary.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But the interesting part was the results were positive. Yeah. So he came back and he was already married by then. So my mom was the first person who planted the tea bush mm-hmm. in her backyard. Mm-hmm. And it takes 4 years for the plants to mature. Oh. So after that, everybody saw what the potential was.
Okay.
So now, all of these more than 100 farmers actually gave my father the land and told him, okay, start. Mm-hmm. And that's how the whole first certified organic tea garden was born in Nepal. And that was the formal production started in 1984. Mm-hmm. And that's why I have so that's actually a perfect segue to go to my business,
yes.
where it says Nepal Tea changing lives since 1984. Right after graduation, I actually went back to Nepal. And then, so I went to my farm and I was also helping to build out the houses mm-hmm. For the farmers. Mm-hmm. There. And that's how I started learning a lot more about what the farm was actually doing.
Right.
I had always seen it as a tea business
right.
and not necessarily thought about it.
Right.
But when I got there, mm-hmm. the model how it runs mm-hmm. is so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the full-time farmers, we provide free housing to them.
Mm-hmm.
Daily necessities like rice, salt,
right.
oil at a subsidized rate. And more importantly, educational system, scholarships for all of the full-time farmers' children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's around 2,300 students already.
Right.
And so all of this, how that worked was just amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when I made a decision. I said, you know what? This is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to develop this and I want to get more involved in this and internationalize the whole concept of tea not just being a beverage,
right.
mm-hmm.
but a catalyst for social change.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my vision. And I told my father, said, hey, I want to get into the tea business.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember it was on a car
mm-hmm.
Right near Pashupati where we were driving and I told him that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told me one thing. Listen, I'm not going to force you into getting into the business,
mm-hmm.
but remember one thing. It's very easy to get into a tea business. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he said. I thought about it for a long time and then he told me, give me your final answer tomorrow after you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I started Nepal Tea, a couple of things,
mm-hmm.
is one thing is more than 80% of the teas that are grown in Nepal is sold to India and is rebranded as Indian teas and sold all over the world.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
So people have been having Nepal teas, they just don't know it.
Right.
Okay.
So, and I wanted to change that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to create an identity for Nepal Tea because if you don't know your source,
mm-hmm.
what essentially ends up happening is you allow unwarranted middlemen
mm-hmm.
to reap the benefits of the farmers.
Right.
And the farmers are the ones who are being exploited at that
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted really to change that. So what I did was I bring all these teas directly from our farm
okay.
and distribute it here.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, creating that identity of, you know, this is teas from Nepal.
Right, right, right.
And even though we are a very small, first of all, it's also kind of like building an identity of Nepal itself.
Right.
A lot of people don't even know where it is, right?
Right, right.
So I kind of talk to them about where the country is.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we produce some awesome teas.
Right, right.
And that's how I started the whole companies. And the reason I was getting first clients and buyers was because people had been buying our teas
mm-hmm.
for 13 years
mm-hmm.
through some middlemen
okay.
who were not really adding value.
Mm-hmm.
And I came into the scene bringing these teas directly. They were just happy.
Right.
They were getting better quality teas at a better price.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part is they could actually build that connection from the farmers. With the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like bridging that gap.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you go about promoting and getting in touch with these consumers, with your with their clients?
So I do a lot of tea festivals. One of the biggest one is World Tea Expo, which happens in Vegas every year. That was my first platform to reach some of these buyers and clients. But I also do these tea festivals all around the US. There's about 7 tea festivals happening everywhere. So I go to all of these tea festivals every single time and directly sell it. To customers and also to retail tea bars and all of that. So my whole idea is to bridge that gap. My whole vision is to bridge the gap between the producers and the consumers. As an immigrant, obviously there was a lot of challenges. A couple of things. The first one was always just the language itself, not being able to explain everything that clearly, and it just comes with practice. But a couple of things, actually, I took them to my advantage of being from a country that a lot of people actually do not know. So it was actually, I could promote my country and the assets that they have. It was just, funnily, I would ask them, you know where Mount Everest is? Yeah, that's where I'm from. And that's exactly where these teas are also from. This is from that same area, and it's actually from the third, in the teas actually grow from the third foothills of the third highest mountain, Mount Kanchenjunga. And I would talk to them as a very unique and rare kind of person you'd meet, and just the tea, how rare and unique the teas also are. And that's how I kind of overcome the challenges that I faced.
And what are your plans for the future now?
My whole plan is to get to as many tea shops as possible. And the other thing that I'm really want to expand is the tea tourism aspect, which is the immersive tea tourism. And if you are interested, or if anyone is interested, what I do basically is take people from here, take them to Nepal. It's a 7-day tour. Two days, you'll be treated as a nice tourist. Fancy things, fancy hotels, fancy food, all of those places. But after that, for 4 days, you go to back to my farm, live like a farmer, make your own teas from start to finish. You'll actually go pluck teas with my farmers. And in the course of 3 days, you'll actually make your own teas. And you can take your teas back home. And that has been growing. I do the next trip is on May 24th, and I do that. I am hoping to do that twice a year. Currently, I do it just once a year during the summer. But yeah, it's been a fascinating experience, and all of those other stories. It's just incredible how many stories I create just because of those tours.
Wow, that sounds so interesting. Interesting. For those who want to get in touch with you, what would be the best medium to get in touch with you?
Email nbanskota@nepaltllc.com.
Thank you so much. It's been so inspiring, fascinating conversation with you, Nistal. Thank you so much for your time today. Okay, so it's time to say bye-bye. Before we do so, we would like to thank the ESU, English Speaking Union, ARNIC, for providing us the space for recording this conversation. If you are a new immigrant in the US, the English Speaking Union provides free English language classes and free professional development classes.
Yes, and definitely log into our podcast website, podcast@theendoftheday.com, to listen and watch previous episodes. And do subscribe us on YouTube, Spotify, all the podcast platform.
Okay, on that note, it's time to say bye-bye. Take care. Bye, guys.
And have a cup of tea.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, guys. We have the 100th episode of our weekly podcast At the End of the Day coming soon.
So, we would like to invite you to our 100th episode.
We would like to acknowledge you and celebrate all the amazing guests we had in our podcast.
So please send us your feedback.
Send us your feedback and wishes for us.
Text us, send us your audio feedback, video feedback, anything you want to say for our 100th episode.